Welcome to Postscript, the American Society for Pharmacy Law's podcast. My name is Henry Hine, and I'll be your host here today. The American Society for Pharmacy Law has an annual conference entitled Developments in Pharmacy Law. We focus each and every year with presenters, experts, and speakers providing the latest and most important updates in pharmacy law. We have over 24 speakers this year, and we're in San Antonio, Texas. The dates are November 2 through 5. All are welcome. Our featured speaker this year is Arkansas Lieutenant Governor Leslie Rutledge. We also feature this year Al Carter, Executive Director of the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy. Attendees can receive up to 15 hours a CE in law, up to 15 hours a CE in pharmacy, and if you'd like both, up to 15 hours in both law and pharmacy. Registration for the conference is at aspl.org. In this podcast series, we feature a few of the conference speakers with two main goals in mind. First, we'd like to enlarge upon where they are in their career and how they got there. With both pharmacists and attorneys in our association, that we have some very unique backgrounds in how people got to where they are. So we get to enlarge a little bit on their background as compared to what you might just read in the little agenda of the conference. Separately, and most importantly, we get to hear the title of their presentation and a little tidbit, just a little bit about where they're going to go with the presentation. And that is the main emphasis there. Today, we are honored to have two guests. We've got Jaya White and we got Ed. Ed and I go back a long time. And guys, are you there? Can you hear me?
Hey, Henry. Yes, thank you.
Jaya, are you there?
I am here. Thank you.
All righty. So let's start. And again, let's just go back. Where are you now in your career? Are you a pharmacist? Are you an attorney? What are you doing? And then how have you gotten there is the second round of that area. And I guess we'll just do ladies first. Jaya, where are you now in your career?
I think it would make sense actually to start with Ed, who is a pharmacist and a lawyer and who has kind of brought me along on his career. So I think we should hear from Ed first.
All right. Let's do Ed first.
Good enough. Age before beauty, is that appropriate to say? I think it is, right? No, thanks, Jaya. So, Henry, you're right. You and I do go back a long way. I started out as a pharmacist, worked at a hospital in Chicago, St. Joe's Hospital. And was working the day shift and met the overnight pharmacist. Her name was Justina Molzen, who was a pharmacist lawyer, and told me about this organization called ASPL just as I was thinking about starting law school. So she encouraged me to go to law school, which is why I wanted to do anyway. And I did that, and I joined ASPL and attended the very first Developments in Pharmacy Law conference way back when. And my career is kind of really, I really owe my career to ASPL, the people I met, the contacts I made, the client development. I mean, Henry, you and I think we were introduced to Ken Baker from Pharmacist Mutual way back in the early days. So I started out, my practice was a combination of litigation, a little bit of Board of Pharmacy work, limited to Illinois, ended up meeting Ken. Did some pharmacy malpractice work for Pharmacist Mutual. Met a guy named Ed Shirosky from Walgreens and started doing Walgreens work early on. And it kind of just took off from there. So I've had a good career, a nice career. I guess you asked, where we're at in our careers. I guess I'm on the back nine. Not quite the last couple of holes here, but it's been a long, nice career. And I'm still having fun every day, still enjoy what I do and enjoy the people I meet. And I also enjoy working with the younger up-and-comers like Jaya. So I will turn it over to Jaya now and let her tell us her story.
All right, Jaya.
Thank you. And I'll take the younger. I've been practicing law for about 16 years now, so younger is relative. I have to thank Ed for a lot of my career. I have been doing pharmacy law for about 12 years now. And we have been together at Quarles and Brady for about 10 of those years. And I started out as a healthcare regulatory lawyer, but very general, and joined a firm. Ed trained me as a young lawyer in pharmacy law. And then I had another partner who trained me in long-term care law. And, you know, I've gone along the years, I made partner and I've done some great things there. But what we're going to talk about today in Fusion has been a nice offshoot of both of those practices, the long-term care and the pharmacy.
This is really good. This is the first time in these kind of interviews that I've had, you know, sort of the mentor and the mentee. And it's really neat to see. And it does. It's amazing. And just to emphasize, you guys are both partners in the firm. And that's a great process to have seen and hear moving along like that. Let's just pick it up and move on. You guys are coming and you're going to speak at the conference. And what is your presentation?
So our title of our presentation is Infusion Pharmacy Services, Regulatory Considerations Impacting the Business. So what is that? We are going to do just a general overview of the infusion industry. And I'll probably start it off talking about traditional home health models and how the infusion industry is different. So you've got the way the laws and the regs are designed, and then you've got this new business model that doesn't fit neatly within the home health agency laws and guidance. And then we will shift over to some of the more recent models, which is the infusion suite. And that is where we're really going to get into some of the pharmacy law considerations. And maybe, Ed, you want to expand upon that a little bit?
Sure. But kind of adding what you said earlier, Henry, about mentor and mentee, I've learned a lot from Jaya in this area as well, because Jaya, her background is a more rounded health law background than mine. I've always focused on pharmacy law, you know, the pharmacies, the wholesalers, drug manufacturers. Jaya brought to the table the home health component of it, representing home health care entities around the country. And this area of infusion pharmacy, which has been around forever, you wouldn't know that by looking at the laws and regulations around the state. They're not real well developed in terms of the interface between pharmacy and nursing and in locations where drugs are infused. You know, the trend these days is kind of away from home infusion and into areas like ambulatory infusion suites, freestanding infusion suites, which is kind of like the wild, wild west out there. There's not a whole lot of regulation surrounding these infusion locations. Most states don't address them at all. They think, well, are you a clinic? Are you a doctor's office? You know, what are you exactly? And as Jaya likes to remind me, the way I described it early on was, it's a room with a chair, with an IV bag, and a nurse. And the patients come. It's very convenient for patients. They can go in the middle of their workday to an infusion suite, get their infusion drug, and continue on with their day. Raises all kinds of pharmacy issues in terms of how are drugs delivered to the infusion suite. Does the state have an anti-decoying law, which is an archaic type of law that basically says you can only deliver drugs to pharmacies, places of employment, or places of confinement? There's a black hole there where infusion suites are. So it's going to be an interesting topic. And the thing I love about ASPL, because I haven't presented at ASPL in a number of years, but the thing I like about this meeting is that it's going to allow folks in the audience to kind of weigh in on it and share their experiences across the country with how they meet these challenges to make sure that patients are getting the healthcare they need at the location that they prefer to have it, and you know, what state laws and regulations either help facilitate that or in the way.
It sounds very interesting. I know nothing about this. I mean, to hear, you know, there it is, because it's not out there in the regs. I sort of relating to what you said, Ed, that this is unique and it's not really been covered well by law and regulation. And so get the discussion going, because our room quite often is full of all kinds of different positions and different points of view, and they come up and ask the questions, you know. So it could be a very good presentation from that point of view. Sounds exciting. Yeah, because it's a new business model that just kind of, how does it fit, you know? So Jaya, that sounds really good. Really great that you guys submitted this topic and it's been accepted, because I think you'll enjoy it. Yeah, that's amazing.
Thanks, Andy.
Any further follow-up or Is that a good tidbit? Do you want to talk a little more about it now or just save it for the presentation?
I don't know, Jai, anything else to add to this? I don't know that there's much more that we need to say at this point.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, when we're at the conference in November, I think we're going to just do a walkthrough of different state laws to kind of show you, like, this is what, and I'll give you a preview. Kentucky has a licensure category for infusion. That is one state. And so we'll talk about that as an example. And then we'll use another state, California. This is what they say. And you know what? There are geographic restrictions in California. And then here's another state, and they're going to require a certificate of need. So we're going to kind of walk you through the different examples of state laws and how they might apply to the business model. And that's going to be particularly interesting. And I think you're right. There'll be a lot of discussion on the infusion suite model, because there is no perfect answer a lot of the time. And so is it an unlicensed space? Is that the most appropriate category? So we'll just kind of walk through some examples and some of our experiences and some of the feedback we've received from regulators as we've been working through these models.
Wow. Wow. What a great topic coming to the conference. The two of you coming down, Jai and Ed, that is just exciting. Yeah, state by state here in the little bits, because states do different things. And this is a new area relatively. And wow, I'm excited to come in and listen to you. Let's go ahead and move on. I do like to ask if you guys would like to give your contact information. If somebody hears this podcast and go, well, you know, I need to call her or something like that. What kind of contact information would you like to give here?
And you can always reach me through email. It seems like I never escape email no matter where I'm at. So that's probably the easiest way. It's ed.rickert@quarles.com. That's probably the easiest way. And then just look for me at the conference. Happy to chat, happy to meet new people, and really looking forward to it.
And Jaya?
And same for me. So email's the easiest. It's Jaya, J-A-Y-A dot white, like the color, @quarles.com. And I will also be there, obviously. So I look forward to meeting everybody.
It's great that you guys have come on here for the podcast. I really appreciate that. And I want to thank our listeners to listening to Postscript, the American Society Pharmacy Law podcast. Again, our fall conference, Developments in Pharmacy Law, is November 2 through 5, San Antonio, Texas. And everybody is welcome. To see the agenda of the conference and or register for the conference, please go to asplaw.org. This is Henry Hine, your host, and we thank you for listening.